Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all today. Happy Father's Day to the fathers in our group here. We missed Mother's Day because we were all in COVID-19 isolation. But we'll say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. But it's good to see you all here this morning. And we're starting a new sermon series, as Liz mentioned, on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to read that description to you again. It's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, in the podcast that Miles just completed, he spoke about spiritual gifts and outlined what they were. And we understood that no one has all of these gifts, but everyone should have some of them. With the fruit of the Spirit, we have a little different scenario. There's no limit on the number of fruits that we can have, because the infilling of the Holy Spirit imparts these fruits to us. In other words, we can have them all. This might seem a little scary, but when you compare spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, we can see that gifts are powers and abilities, whereas fruits are attitude and behavior. And today I'm blessed to bring you a message about my favorite fruit, love. Love is found throughout the scriptures. Love is one of the warmest words in the English language. And that God is love is one of the most sublime, uplifting, and reassuring truths known to mankind in any language. Love is the most powerful expression of the most powerful emotion and experience in the world. One of the most known descriptions of love is in John 3:16, and we all know this one by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we all know and cherish that verse, because it tells us about God's love. And that's a love that's so powerful and so boundless that he was willing to send Jesus to earth to teach us God's will and to be the sacrifice that cleansed and redeemed us all, even when we didn't deserve it. Now, the Greeks had four loves, or four words that we translate as love. There's eros, which is carnal or sexual love. Philia, which is the love of close friendship. Scorge, the love of family relationships. And agape, the love that seeks only the highest good for others. And it is this love that John mentions in our text and Paul defines. Agape has to do with the mind, but it's not a simple emotional or physical reaction. It's a principle by which we deliberately choose to live. Agape has to do with the will, and it's not rooted in a feeling or an urge of the heart, but a purposeful focus of the will. It is a caring love, one which primarily involved with the needs of others, and not with ourselves. It does not depend upon the one being loved, having to deserve or earn that. It's not a love reserved only for a select few, but an all-encompassing, ever-present, selfless love. In 1 John 3:1, we find, See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is the outline of God's love for us. But what should our love look like? And we find the answer to that in 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul describes the most excellent way. Where he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. And it's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now that sounds pretty involved, doesn't it? Maybe a little to actually do. But it really isn't as hard as it seems. It just takes a little practice and a lot of commitment. I have a bumper sticker on the back of my truck that says, love God, love people. You see, that's the answer. That is the key to making this work. God loved us first. He shows us his love in everything he has done. He has adopted us into his family, and we are his children. And in doing so, he empowers us to do things we never knew that we could do, like loving others and letting that love influence everything in our lives. I learned how to stop being angry, how to let go of resentment and disappointment, how to accept people regardless of their demeanor to me. I learned that it just isn't worth hanging on to perceived mistreatment or dislike displayed by others. And this is particularly true in my career in law enforcement. A blue uniform and a gold badge totally block people seeing the person behind that facade. We are seeing this across the world today, where the actions of a minuscule number of officers have painted all police officers with the same perception of attitude, even when this is not the truth at all. And we need to overcome perception and find the truth. The story that I've occasionally told has to do with my time with Manteca PD. And it addresses one of the definitions of love. I was an officer for 35 years, both in Manteca and Nevada County. I worked in Truckee for 8 years and was promoted to sergeant there. When I decided to move back to the Valley, I joined Manteca PD. And after I'd been there a few years, there was a sergeant's exam. So naturally, I took the test and came out number one on the list. I was very surprised when I didn't get a promotion. It seemed that the chief at the time didn't think I was a team player, probably because I was also president of the Police Officers Association, and I was obligated to take every grievance into his office. And because of this, he thought that I was the source of these complaints. And he didn't think I should be rewarded with a promotion. He was wrong. But that was his perception. About a year later, the chief got fired. He didn't deserve it, but he had a conflict with the city manager, and the city consolidated the police and fire departments, and they put the fire chief in charge of the combined agency and terminated the chief of police. It wasn't fair that this happened to the chief, and I joined his support team and the petition to the city to reverse their decision. Now, I want you to know the chief was totally flabbergasted that I would support him after his actions regarding a promotion with me. I supported him because the actions of the city were wrong and needed to be addressed. It was the right thing to do. He needed that assistance. And because I didn't hold on to a perceived wrong, and did the right thing, he realized that the issues that came up when I was POA president were brought on by the members of the association, and that I had a responsibility to address them with him. An example of keeps no record of wrongs enabled me to avoid holding a grudge about that promotion and overcome his perception and thus turn our conflict into cooperation. Now, to emphasize the importance of love to God and our relationship with him, we note that in the NIV, the word love is used 514 times. It's not the most frequently used word. Lord understandably holds that spot. But think of this. A word used over 500 times is something God wanted us to see, to understand its importance. And God has been reminding us of his love throughout the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, in Psalms 36, his love is explained to the Israelites several times. He says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies, and how priceless is your unfailing love." Oh God, people take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And in Psalm 63, "Because your bad love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." Now God, by demonstrating his love for us, is showing us what love is, how powerful and wonderful love is. Because God loves us and shows us this repeatedly, we can understand why our love for God and other people is so important. Jesus made the point of the importance of love in Matthew 22, when he was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus repeatedly emphasized love, even to the point of saying in Luke 6:27, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." And in John 13, Jesus tells us, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Paul teaches us that the most excellent way to measure and express spirituality is love. He tells us that without it, even the most significant of spiritual gifts cannot enrich the ones that possess them. And love is no abstract philosophical notion. It's practical, observable, expressing itself in everyday actions and attitudes. It is love that is the measure of a person. It is love that is the measure of spirituality, of true closeness in our relationship with the Lord. So don't be over concerned about what your fruits are. Concentrate instead on how you can love others. With love, all the fruits will grow, and all things are possible. It boils down to this. In 1 John 4, it is written, "We love because he first loved us." Because he first loved us. So we demonstrate the love of God by the love we show to others, both in the family of God and in the world around us. Jesus demonstrated what love is like with his actions and his willingness to give his life to give us redemption. Love is what changes the world as we know it. Love that looked like no other, acted like no other, and sacrificed like no other. Love came as God in the flesh, as God incarnate, and lived our lives, died our deaths, and rose again for our sake. That is love. So let us follow in his footsteps. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, sometimes the idea of loving our neighbors and loving the world is so hard for us to grasp. We see things around us that we don't understand because of they don't reflect love. But Lord, we need to know, and you need to help us realize that what other people are doing does not affect us and our feeling and our relationship with you. Whether others show hatred, evilness, we show love. We show forgiveness. We show a connection with you through our ability to love others. You know, you've told us even to love our enemies and to do good to those who persecute us. In other words, Lord, you are telling us to love everyone, everywhere, regardless. So, Lord, I ask that you just fill us with your Spirit to give us that strength and that direction, the ability to follow your lead and Jesus' lead in your demonstration of love, and to help us exhibit that love here on this earth. Lord, we are blessed by your presence in our lives, and we're blessed so much by the sacrifice of Jesus when he poured his love out on us. And Lord, we just will follow in your footsteps, listen to you, and follow your direction. And thank you for every gift and every fruit that we receive. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.